This is On The Grid, powered by theracetalk.com on mypodcasthouse.com.
G'day everyone and welcome to On The Grid here on mypodcasthouse.com or through the Radio Show Limited's RS1 or whatever your favourite podcast provider might be. Thank you for joining us. It's a big week this week because supercars are back on track, for real. And as a result, there's plenty of news to come your way. Team owner Charlie Sherkolt joins us to talk about the last 4 months for Team 18 and how they've come out of it. And of course, Richard Crowell and Mark Walker give us their predictions for this weekend at Sydney Motorsport Park as we dissect all the permutations. But first, this week's news, and we start with breaking news, and that is the combining of grids for the Dunlop Super 2 field and the Kumo V8 Touring Car Series. Supercars announcing today that Super 3 has been resurrected and will run on the same grid as Super 2 cars at four events this year, those events being Winton, Sandown, Bathurst and the finale at Sydney Motorsport Park. Super 3 Series category manager Liam Kirkpatrick believes it's a great opportunity for the young drivers of the VATC to test themselves and share the stage with supercars. Supercars Chief Operating Officer Shane Howard saying in today's statement that the categories combining will provide exposure for team sponsors and bolster the number of competitors on track. Howard going on to say the primary focus for supercars is around the driver pathway, a commitment shared with category sponsor Dunlop. Moving forward to supercars racing this weekend, and WAU driver Chas Mostert has told Supercars Sidetracked on Fox Sports that he can't wait to be driving again after such a long layoff.
Just missed the typical things like the smell of burning rubber, burning brakes, and that E85 ethanol. So it's just the usual real world things you miss. Yeah, like you said, probably the longest period I've had off at a race car since probably 2015 with the crash. And then it was kind of a tease because everyone else was racing and I wasn't, but now everyone kind of hasn't been able to. So we'll just have to see how we get back into it. Obviously, like you said, we had a good start to the year in Adelaide. Grand Prix was still on the pointy end. So I'm looking forward to getting back to Eastern Creek. It's been happy hunting grounds and just keep trying to build some momentum with the new team. And see what the King Ginger, Adam Dvorak, can come up with setup-wise, and more importantly, make sure I don't make too many mistakes with the first weekend back.
Meanwhile, Erebus CEO Barry Ryan has told Supercars Sidetracked on Fox Sports the new rules and regulations set for race day will see him have a more hands-on role.
Yeah, the biggest thing as a team is just making sure we tick all our boxes on the things we normally have to do, and with a lot of people that normally do those things not here, so we're going to have to cover our bases there, but I'll be getting my hands dirty again. Dennis will be getting his hands dirty a bit more than he normally does, and we've got our two normal mechanics on each car, so, and our two normal engineers, so the engineers are going to have to plug in a bit more and not rely on a data guy. But yeah, at the end of the day, we just want to get racing again and provide some good entertainment.
For reigning supercar champion Scott McLaughlin, he believes everyone heads to Sydney Motorsport Park with a great chance of winning.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think you'll see a lot of a couple of different cars up there. People that have been strong at SMP in the past. You got to remember, we haven't been there since 2018 either. So I think different cars. We haven't been there in the Mustang. It's going to be really, really cool, and a good chance for a lot of teams to get up there. The top 15 shootout's a cool thing, I think. I think that's going to be an awesome addition to the category to give people some exposure. But also, you know, if you qualify 15th and you put a good shootout lap in, you know what can happen in a shootout. You could, you know, the front guys can make a lot of mistakes and track can change. And then all of a sudden you've got a really mixed up grid. So qualifying is going to be really important for these sprint races. And then the way you attack as a driver, the 2 to 4 tire pit stops, whether you take 4, whether you take 2, how you look after your tires if you take 2. How hard you push if you take 4. It's going to be really cool, and I'm really excited for it all.
McLaughlin there also on Supercars Sidetracked on Fox Sports. Supercar CEO Sean Seamer has explained the recent calendar changes to the Supercar website.
When we first released the calendar a few weeks ago, our number one priority was putting a stake in the ground to get going racing again. As we've done more work with our stakeholders and partners over those past few weeks, it became very obvious to us that as we started to look to extend the season into 2021, all we were doing was delaying the disruption of COVID-19 into 2021 and potentially further impacting the shape of the championship. So whilst it hasn't been an easy decision to end this year, that's exactly why we did it.
And Seema was asked, will the Sandown race this year be an enduro?
It's not going to be an enduro at Sandown this year, unfortunately, but stay tuned for the 2021 calendar.
A bit of a tease to the finish of that answer there. Thank you, Sean. We finish off with NASCAR. Some crazy things happening in the US centered around the Confederate flag and Bubba Watson. NASCAR even allowing the number 43 team to break Parc Fermé and check the car in the morning of race day to ensure nobody had tampered with it overnight. All this on the back of Bubba's team finding a noose hanging from his garage roof. Back to racing though, and it was an amazing finish at Talladega this week, and who better than our US correspondent Randy the Plumber to explain the finish.
Things done got crazy at Talladega, coming to the finish line. Watch this right here. Watch. Blaney's got this thing. Jones is in the wall. But look right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wide, baby. 6 wide coming to the line at Talladega. That's what I'm talking about. And here they come. Here they come. Blaney's got him by just a nose right there. Look at that. About that far. Almirola finishes third. Crossing the finish line backwards, baby. Holy cow. And here comes Jones smacking the wall 3 times. Nemechek right here. He's in the wall. Everybody's in the cotton picking wall. That's one of the craziest finishes I have ever seen.
Thank you, Randy. That's all the news. Let's get into the show.
This is On The Grid on mypodcasthouse.com.
And joining me on the line, Richard Crail from theracetalk.com. Hello, Crailsy.
Yes, Shebex. Hello. Nice to be back with you in a week where we actually go car racing, keeping my unbroken streak of 3 weeks in a row now after I missed that 1 week and copped it for...
Is there a level of excitement or are you just playing this very cool?
No, there's excitement. I'm tired. It's been a long 3.5 months. So much has gone on in the last period, hasn't it? But no, yeah. It's nice to be talking about real world car racing for one, and it's nice to be talking about stuff that while COVID-19 comes into the conversation, it's not the center of the conversation, and we can talk form guides and we can talk who's hot or not, and that's great. And we'll have the great Mark Walker on the show a bit later on to run through this full Sydney preview. I'm happy it's back, Shebex, and I'm looking forward to it. Even if we can't be there, this is the next best thing. At least we'll be on the couch.
Well, you're right. Another man that can't be there also is the owner of Team 18. His name is Charlie Sherkov, and he joins us on the line now. G'day, Charlie. How are you?
Hey, nice to see you, Tony and Richard. Great to speak.
Lovely to see you too, mate. First of all, the last 3 or 4 months, you've been in business for a long, long time. Have you ever seen anything like this?
No, nothing at all, mate. Nothing at all. This has been, a pretty horrendous time for Australia, and you feel so sorry for so many people out there. But my own forklift company's been impacted. We do a lot of events, and that's been impacted very heavily, from cruise ships to all sorts of events that we unload things with forklifts, been heavily impacted. But it certainly kept us on our toes to invent ways of... getting things done, but very thankful to the Australian government for JobKeeper and JobSeeker to look after all our staff. It's been great.
Is the tide turning, Charlie, from a business point of view? Do you feel like as the restrictions ease, it's starting to open up a little bit and you can reclaim some of that lost ground?
Yeah, look, I've created a great business of renting forklifts out, and one of the big parts of my business is short-term rental in the event space. So unfortunately, when you look at all the events around Australia, we supply gear to set up these events. We're going to be one of the last to go back when there's mass gatherings. It's going to take a long time. So, it was crazy to see the Grand Prix, which we supply all the equipment for the build. So we have about 140 machines at the Grand Prix, and we had a record day about 3 days before the Grand Prix, and then we were told to pack it up, and it's gone from this great big event to zero now in our event world. So it's going to be a long journey. I don't know when we're going to see, tens and tens of thousands of people at a gathering. It's going to be a long time. So I think my gear is going to be parked up for some time. But I think we've hit rock bottom, though. I think we've hit rock bottom at the moment, and we've just got to build on that.
Yeah, hopefully rock bottom doesn't last for too long. That's the thing we need to be careful of.
Yeah, for sure.
It's been 4 and a bit months to get to race number 7 of the season. What an amazing time March was. We had a really successful Adelaide. The Grand Prix comes on the cards and everything just shut down, as you said, so quickly as it started. And now all of a sudden we get into July and we're going to start racing again. Tell us about the effect that that's had on the race team for the past 3 or 4 months. I'm sure that, unfortunately, there's been situations where people just haven't been able to stay around.
No, it's been really tough. The income's been impacted quite dramatically. We've got some amazing sponsors, you know, the Stanley Black & Decker Group and Fuchs and all these people that have been with me many, many years. They're all stuck behind me. I don't think I'm going to lose one sponsor out of all this, but things have cut everywhere. And so we've got a great group of sponsors that look after us. But unfortunately, when you're not racing, there's no income coming in. And we've had to shed a few people. Not too many. I think we've done okay compared to some other teams. And I've had one high-profile guy, which is Steve Richards, which is a real shame. I had to let Steve go at the moment until things pick up. But there's just no money coming in the door. And to survive, you know, business has to survive. And if the money's not coming in, you've got to look at all your costs and everything. So it's been a bit of a tough road. But the staff, they went on JobKeeper and we got through on 2 days a week and that sort of stuff. But they've been back now. This is their second week. They've been back full time and they are super, super excited to go racing. And that's what they're there for. They're there to go racing. So we really can't wait, even though I won't be there, but we can't wait to go to Sydney.
I'll ask you about the fact that you can't go and watch your own race team race in a minute, because that would suck, I would imagine. Just on the sponsorship thing, I'm sure many people who listen to this show will be interested in the process you've taken to look after those guys, because sponsorship is very much an art of them giving to your team, but you giving back in return. So what's been the process for you to manage those relationships during this time? Do you reach out and put your arm around them and just keep them up to speed? What have you guys done to look after Erwin, DeWalt, Fuchs, everyone you mentioned during this process?
Yeah, look, it's communication. It's a simple thing of just communicating with your sponsors. Hey, we're in trouble here. We can't race and we can't deliver as well. What we're supposed to deliver to these sponsors, and maybe we can make it up, maybe we can't, we're not sure. And part of Stanley Black & Decker is a massive, massive activation, which some people saw at Adelaide, and we set it all up for the Grand Prix, which is it's a B-double road show that goes to tour events, and there's competitions. It's absolutely fantastic. And of course, that's all stopped. And it's just communicating with all your partners and working with them, what do they want, and working it through, and it's just a simple thing. So I'm close to all our sponsors, they're close to me, and we work through it. So as I said, I don't believe we're going to lose any sponsors. They all want to stay on board. They all they want to be all part of this journey that we're on. So yeah, really proud.
Speaking of journeys, we've had an amazing journey with the E-Series over the last 10 or so weeks. From an idea that we all thought, oh, will it work? How will it look? To something that was just spectacular in the way that it was produced and put together, the involvement from all the drivers and the final product turned out to be pretty good numbers-wise on the tally. Did that help in regards to sponsors? Did the sponsors see that as being an added advantage that kept them on the tallies?
Yeah, look, first of all, Supercars and Nathan and everyone did an amazing job to put all that together. It was a big thing because there was... I'm not sure if all the drivers were right in there. I think one of my drivers, Frosty, he was pretty frustrated by it. The older school drivers, I think they get pretty frustrated. Scotty Pye was pretty excited about it. But delivering the signage and everything was a big part. I know all our sponsors were sharing stuff everywhere. And it certainly helped fill that void. It didn't do a lot. It didn't do the activation and everything, but it certainly helped fill that void for sure.
It's funny you mentioned that about Frosty, because Frosty's actually an old gamer from way back, isn't he? He's been doing this sim stuff for a long time.
Yeah, no, I think he got a bit frustrated. Everyone tried to hit him, and And we saw him flying in the air so many times. And
a normal weekend.
The first time I saw it, I was laughing so much. I just couldn't believe it. And the best thing about it, of course, I got no damage bills. So that made me very happy.
We learnt a bit about your drivers as well. Frosty's kids had a go on the sim, which was good fun to watch. And Scott Pye sort of became a bit of an internet celebrity through this. He hosted a Twitch stream after every round that Van Gisbergen jumped on, and they had question and answers and some fun races. So from that respect, it was great for your drivers, and especially Scotty, I think, who really grabbed it, and he's got quite a commercial brain, as I'm sure you know, really grabbed it and leveraged it, didn't he, in a way? And that has that flow and effect of working for both Team 18 and his sponsors on his car.
Yeah, for sure. No, we got so much from Scotty doing that. He did an amazing job, and he loves that sort of stuff, and he's got his own little business on the side, as we know, but he really promoted, you know, he's got accounts everywhere and doing so much with it. And so, yeah, he was really good.
How are you going to go this weekend, mate? Limited numbers of people allowed at the racetrack due to the restrictions that supercars are operating under, at least for Sydney Motorsport Park. So you'll be on the couch. Will you be a nervous couch watcher? Will you be on the edge of the seat, or will you be nice and relaxed and just watching it unfold?
It'll be just like the E-Series, exactly the same. But the cars are a little bit more real. No,
yep.
I'm going to have a few sponsors. I've got a little man cave at one street from home. I have a few guests around and people. I'm in Queensland, so we can have as many people we like up here just about. Right. And that should be a bit of fun. Have a couple of beers and watch the race. And I won't be nervous, but it'll be weird not being there. I think it's 10, 12 years since I've missed a race, I think. So
yeah, wow.
it'll be pretty crazy. But yeah, we've culled a few people that can go to the track, which is a bit of a shame, but swapping a couple of positions around. But look, both drivers, I think, should be quick. They should be good. The cars are good. I think we've, you know, there's obviously going to be a lot of setup changes with the two-stop thing, the two-gun procedure. There's going to be a lot of learning and of getting through, but I think we'll go okay. I'm really confident. Frosty loves it there, and Scotty's quick there too. So, yeah, I'm confident we'll be okay. We should be on the money.
So, Charlie, of course, your team predominantly working out of Melbourne. You're on the Gold Coast. How have you been keeping in touch with them? Has there been a lot of Zoom meetings, or what's the story?
I've been Zooming and team player, team member, and all that sort of stuff. But my head office of my business is in Melbourne. And I've commuted down to Melbourne for about 11 years now, and they couldn't keep me away. So I came up with an invention of using our old Super Ute transporter, which is a pickup truck, a big shed pickup truck, and a fifth wheeler trailer. And I've been transporting cars down to Melbourne, and that'll pay for my fuel and not so much my wages. Take the cars down to Melbourne and unload, and then stay down there for a week, and then see if there's some freight and bring it back to Queensland. So I've got a couple of cars that I'm hooked up, ready to go for Monday straight after the race, and I'll go back down to Melbourne again. Gets me across the border, and it's essential travel. So things you're going to do to keep in touch.
Boys have been back for 2 weeks. You mentioned Charlie in the garage getting things ready for the weekend. Has a lot of their work been centred around not just getting the cars right, but getting themselves right in their positions and what they need to do over the two-day period?
Yeah, for sure. Like, driver-wise, the drivers are fit as anything. Frosty's got his trainer back in Melbourne, and he's just pumped. Same with Scotty. They are super, super fit. So I think drivers are ready as good as they'll be. They're both on fire. And as far as the crew goes, you know, they've been, you know, I heard, you know, pit stop practices again today for quite some time, and getting all that ready. So, yeah, I think we're pretty well prepared. I really do. But it is going to be different. Limited data, limited, you know, the pit stop situation, and less people. We've got a new engineer, an old face on Scotty Pye's car. We've changed a few things around there. So Scotty's got Phil Keed as his engineer, the most experienced guy that on that engineering side. So we had a great job with Matty. He's stepped back there, and so he'll be looking after that. Manuel on as engineer on Frosty's car. So we've got a good crew to make it all happen and work. And yeah, I think we should go okay.
speak to the impact that Mark Winterbottom's made on your team, Charlie, since he joined last year. We all remember the amazing scenes down at Simmons Plains, which was one of the highlights of the championship last year. But it feels like he's brought a real positive impact into your outfit. And, of course, that's expanded this year by bringing a second car on board with Scotty.
Yeah, look, Frosty's an incredible guy. He really is. He's a great operator, but also a great person. And he's enabled me to build on my team. And he's the brand of that and to get better people. So we've got fantastic people, you know, who doesn't want to work with Frosty or in the team, whether it's on the second car or the main car. He's just an incredible person. And, of course, it opens up the door for sponsors as well. And so it's allowed me to build and I can with a guy like Frosty. He's a fantastic person.
And a really positive start to the season in Adelaide as well. If you cast your mind back what feels like 4 years ago and back in early March, he was really impressive on the streets of Adelaide. I think he's eighth in the championship after the first round. So really solid start for you guys as well.
Yeah, look, I think he's actually seventh, I think, with the car dropping out, I think, now.
Of course,
He had a solid start. I feel for Scotty there, just didn't quite have his opportunity to shine. We had some front-end issues with, not so much, with the new control damper that was binding up, etc., and put him in the wall, and it just didn't quite go his way. But his time will come, and I reckon Sydney, he'll be able to shine. But yeah, Frosty's had a really solid start. So
you mentioned the car pulling out, Charlie, and of course it was all due to the fact that Milwaukee pulled their sponsorship on that car, and that made things tough. Were you surprised to hear that when it happened? And have you been surprised that there hasn't been more casualties in regards to that sponsorship pull-out situation with teams?
Yeah, I was really disappointed for Phil Monday. I really was. I didn't see that one coming. We all want to go racing. That's what we're here for. And you try as hard as you possibly can with your sponsors and make it all work. Phil was in a really unfortunate situation, and I really do feel for him. But I think everyone will be on the grid in Sydney, which is really, really good news. And lucky we feel that the 24th car with Courtney coming along. But it's tough out there. It really is. Looking after your sponsors, you've got to look after them. So it's great that there is 24 cars.
You spoke about communication being the key between you and your sponsors. Was there a level of frustration at all, or how was it all handled over the past 3 or 4 months, the level of communication between yourself and Supercars?
Yeah, no, that was good. Look, I speak to Supercars a couple of times a week to find out what's going on, where we're going, etc. That's been fine. It's hard. They're so busy trying to, you know, get TV sorted and events sorted. It's frustrating and it's changing all the time. Obviously, with Melbourne having a bit of a spike down there at the moment, it makes it difficult. I know we're ramping up a few extra COVID-19 stuff down there, but I've had good communication with Supercars, no dramas at all. So it's been good.
Well, and on that note, while all this is going on, Supercars have got an eye to the future with Gen 3, and it's been a much talked about topic over the last 6 months, even longer than that. Where do you see that from Teamland? What's your take on what the series needs to get into place for this very critical next set of rules for the category moving forward?
Yeah, look, we've got an amazing product, our current Supercars. However, it's extremely costly. We all know it's so costly, and we need to reduce the costs, and we need a new model. What that model is going to be, I'm not sure just yet. But we've got to go racing cheaper to get other teams to come through. Some of the development series is the goal, like Matty White and Eggleston, those sort of people, to, hey, we want to get in the main game, and it's got to be cost effective for them. And it's such a big jump to go from there to there. So we've got to have a product that's cost effective. There's a few models out there. We've just got to get the right model, what it is. But we've got to change our model to get more people involved. But at the moment, it's probably not quite the right time. We all can't afford to go and buy brand new cars at the moment. We'll have to run our ZBs for another year, which is, not ideal when it's not sold in Australia, but again, it's not a fault of supercars. It's circumstances there that we've lost another manufacturer, unfortunately.
It's kind of chicken or the egg at the moment, isn't it? Because the sport needs this change, as you said, to take some cost out, but that expense of actually updating is going to be quite a big capital hit to yourself and the other part of the grid. So it's sort of balancing, you know, this massive outlay. You've got to upgrade all your gear, but then it'll be cheaper to run them when you've got them, I suppose. It's a difficult thing to balance.
Yeah, it is. Over over a 5 or 10 year period, it will work out better. But the other problem is redundancy. What do you do with your old cars and everything? How does this all flow on? So there's a lot of work to go into this to make it cost effective. There really does. And we've got transmissions, we've got engines. There's so much, and we need a strong Super 2 series to download all this down for that. And of course, it's pretty tough out there, the economy, and it's great to see that Super 2 will get going again with Super 3 and Super Tourers all together. So that'll help and bring the cars down. But yeah, there's a fair bit of work to go through to sort all this out.
Charlie, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. I was going to say we'll see you at the track soon, but that probably won't happen until Townsville, maybe, I reckon.
Yeah, I'd say that's the first race I'll be going to.
I
don't think I'll be at Winton, especially at the moment, the way it's down there. I can see pit lane locked up and no sponsors there as well. As soon as sponsors are allowed, I'll be there for sure. I'm not sure about Darwin, but Townsville, yes, I'm really confident that I'll be at Townsville. But yes, very, very frustrating not to be there, but I'll be cheering all our crew on and our boys and of course, our drivers.
Appreciate your time, Charlie. We'll catch you soon.
Terrific. Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Richard.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
All right, Krazy, time to introduce our old mate, Mark Walker, who joins us from his safe haven up on the Gold Coast. Hello, Mark.
Hello there, Shebexter. We've got the upgraded microphone this week. We've gone from the $2 model to the one that's 50 times more expensive, but 3 times better. So hopefully that works out well for everyone.
Is there anyone you'd like to thank for the assistance in purchase?
The governor of the Australian Taxation Office.
It's tax time, folks.
End of financial year.
Coming up, you'll be able to eat.
What a big week, boys. We're going racing this weekend. Cannot wait. Before we look at that, though, and there's plenty to look at there, a massive story has come over the news desk in the last couple of hours, and it's one that we'll throw to you, Richard, because I'm sure you'll have a fair background to this, and it's the merging again of the Kumho Touring Car Series and the Super 2 Series, which, of course, they sort of did when they had Super 2s and Super 3s last year, and then that disbanded quickly, and now they've sort of reached out again. Can you give us some information on what's happening here?
Yeah, it's more on again, off again than something that I don't have the correct analogy for, to be perfectly honest for you.
I'm thinking.
More on than off than the light in my fridge when it's beer drinking weather. There you go.
That'll do.
So interesting time. So the news is that the Dunlop Super 2 Series will share the grid with what was the Kumho V8 Touring Car Series. Last year was branded Super 3. There was an attempt at the end of last year to merge the two series together that was driven from the supercars side. That ultimately didn't happen. In fact, it caused quite a parting of the ways. And what was Super 3 last year went back to being known as V8 Touring Cars and was going to run alongside the ARG categories at Shannon's Motorsport Australia events in 2020. But needs must, and with the dramas around the world and the economic climate and grid sizes and everything like that, another attempt was put together to make it happen. Now, it all started about 2 months ago, as we speak. There were discussions about it. It didn't ultimately come off, and there were some sticking points around the fact that one series major sponsor and tyre supplier is Dunlop, and the other series major sponsor and tyre supplier is Kumho. Those discussions got to a point where it was basically shot down 1.5 to 2 weeks ago, and it wasn't going to happen. And V8 Touring Car was going to go back onto the Shannon's program, running with the ARG categories like TCR and S5000 and so on. But there was a desire, and to be fair, it was a desire from a lot of both sides of this equation, from supercars and from the V8TC organisers, to make this happen, because it will probably benefit both sides. And the deal's been done, which is fantastic. So I think first and foremost, Kumo have probably taken one for the team here. The cars will still run on Kumo rubber, but it's the Dunlop series. They're the major sponsor. They're a major supercars backer. They have been for a long time. So it will be all branded as Dunlop, but these cars will still run Kumo tyres. And we'll come to that fact, the little interesting side bit, in a minute. So I think full credit to Kumo, who have been a major supporter of this championship since 2008 when it first started. Mm-hmm. And that shouldn't be misunderstood. They have been an amazing supporter of Australian motor racing at a non-supercar level. So well done. But for the good of the sport, I think they're back down. They'll stay involved. They'll supply the tyres, and then we'll see where it's at. So basically, we get the two series on the same grid. But that's what it is, Shebex. It's not a merging per se. It's a grid share. So you've just got to imagine that Super 2 and Super 3 remain separate entities. They're just sharing the same racetrack at the same time. There'll be a pole sitter for Super 2, a pole sitter for Super 3, a race winner for one, race winner for the other. It's class racing, but they'll stay very, very separate. They just share the racetrack. So it's kind of best of both worlds as far as I can see.
So it'll still be known as the Dunlop series, did you say, but effectively the Kumo guys will be racing on their Kumos and the Dunlop guys will be racing on their Dunlops.
Correct. Yeah. It's okay. Still Dunlop Super 2.
Yep.
Super 3 will be a class within that. Much like the Bathurst 12 Hours got the GT3 class and the GT4 class, separate trophies for the winner of both. They're just sharing the same bit of racetrack. Yep.
That's how it works. Mark Walker, what could go wrong?
Nothing. Sounds good. I mean, October last year when the first merger came down, it wasn't a merger at all. It was a hostile takeover, which didn't sit well with anyone from the Super 3 side of things. So after that, there was that bit of a divorce there that happened. But at least this time, they've talked. They communicated. There was everyone's on board. So there's no negatives from it, as far as I can see. Rich, one for you. How do you think the lap times are going to sort out between these two different cars, older model car, newer model car, different types of tyres?
Yeah. That's probably a good talking point for the series moving forward, though they'll be light on the Kumo references for obvious reasons. But We combined on the racetalk.com last year at Queensland Raceway when they had main games Super 2 and Super 3 on the same program. And there were 55 odd supercars running at the same event. It was tremendous. And we mixed up the grids, admittedly, on a short lap, 68 seconds at Queensland Raceway or 70 seconds, and a six corner lap. So there's not a huge amount of variation there. But the top Kumo series cars were in the top five or six of Super 2. The difference is in tyre allocation. So Super 2 have more new tyres per weekend. So that will help them. But the Kumos are slightly softer compound. So over a lap, I don't think there'll be a huge amount of difference. So if you get a really good gun driver in a BJR Super 3 car, for example, then there's no reason why they won't be somewhere near the top five or six, I would have thought, of those leading Super 2 series cars. So it's going to produce some really interesting results, which I think is great. But what it will also do is throw in the heritage cars. So Brad Neal, who's got the SP Tools livery on the ex-Shane Van Gisbergen and Stone Brothers Racing FG Falcon, that's going to be there. The TF Racing guys have got the Jim Beam championship-winning livery on their ex-DJR car, Chris Smurd and the Irwin car. You'll have those cars on the grid again, which will be great. And the supercars fans that love that era will have those on that program. So yeah, I think that's cool. And then from a privateer perspective and from the young professionals running in Super 3, be they with Matt White Racing or Image Racing, Madeline Stewart running with Brad Jones Racing again this year, from an exposure point of view, they'll get the TV that goes with it, and hopefully they can give some love to the Super 3 guys and girls over the course of the season so they can get some airtime as well and hopefully benefit from that like they did last year when they ran as a standalone category on a lot of supercar rounds.
So four races for the shared grid situation. It'll be the Winton event, July 18-19, the Sandown event in September, Bathurst in October, and Sydney Motorsport Park in December. Will the Kumo guys still be doing anything on Shannon's Motorsport to top? That'll be it for them.
Yep. Yep. No, just the four rounds. They would have only done five for the season anyway. They traditionally run a five-round calendar. And, you know, a lot of these guys, Mark, are privateers and they put their heart and soul into it. So four rounds, I think, is max for them just from a budgetary point of view.
I think for the mug punter sitting trackside, it'll be a great thing. Just bigger fields are what you want. If they're just a blow-in on the weekend, he knows nothing else. If they just see a full field of cars out there, that's a good thing for them. Mm-hmm. My question for you again is, how is the ARG involved with the Vauxhall Touring Cars? Did they have some sort of stake in the series, or is it still run by the Kirkpatricks? How does that work?
Liam Kirkpatrick's still category manager of the category.
Sorry for putting you on the spot here.
No, that's fine. No, look, there's a relationship there with ARG. They're involved in the category now, and it's sort of come under their wing, I suppose, is the best way to say it, as part of that broader category group. In fact, brand new websites for all the ARG suite of categories and events launched this week, and V8 Touring Cars as part of that. So it's under the wing. But to be honest, I think it's a positive because it proves there's a lot talked up about animosity between supercars and ARG, but what I think it proves is that there's willingness for discourse between them. You can chat. There is conversation taking place between both sides of this perceived ARG v supercars or supercars v ARG camp, so, which is a great thing.
And you only have to look at the V8 TV side of things, looking after the TV for the ARG categories at the Shannon's meets this year.
Yeah, so there's conversation, which is great. And I think it's a good thing. So it could be the start of more. Like, I don't think there's anyone you could talk to that wouldn't think that having TCR at, I'm just pulling events out of my head, Darwin or Townsville or a Newcastle or something like that would be a great thing. Or having S5000 at the Adelaide 500 or, again, Hidden Valley, which is a cool open wheel track. I don't think there's any doubt in that. And it would benefit those categories too. So, look, thinking real big picture, if this can help facilitate some of that chat down the road, then happy days. That'd be fantastic.
It won't, though.
Oh, come on. Tony, there's enough negativity in the world. We're just motorsport right now. Just everyone needs to get their arms around each other, hug it out, and we're all friends and trying to work for the benefit of the sport moving forward, surely. And look, we joke. In all seriousness, I think this is probably that outcome for both of these series. Because Super 2 was in pain. They only had, 13 cars in Adelaide. That's not enough for your Tier 2 series. So even if you get 12 V8 Touring Car, now Super 3 entries on the grid, all of a sudden you're up to 25 cars. That's a great field. Fantastic. Yeah. Looks good for TV. Looks good for punters at the racetrack when they can go back. Hopefully the Super 3 guys can still get the exposure they want. When crowds come back, they can get the big attendances. And Super 2's grid is made bigger and better. So there's not a lot of lose out of this equation from what I can see looking from the outside in.
Yep, and it'll prove my theory of a few weeks ago that regardless of what you put out there, if the cars are going 20 or 30 Ks slower, as long as they look good, sound good, and the racing's good, the punters are going to love it. They won't know the difference.
You'll get some lap traffic too, boys, as well. Like the field split in Super 3 is quite big, as we mentioned, the privateer guys running at the back. So this will be something else for the Super 2 guys to deal with, which will add another variable to their races, which is cool.
All right. Sydney Motorsport Park is our host for the third round of the Virgin Australia. We still call it the Virgin Australia Supercar Championship. Yeah. It is, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Nothing's changed there. This weekend, it's a two-day meet. Interesting to see supercars coming out today and announcing some different formats that they're going to run, some different things that are going to run through races this year. Anyone want to touch on those?
I mean, it's a bit of choose your own adventure, isn't it? We're sort of making it up as we go along, which is fine, which we have to do. We're on the run and everything is changing. They've taken a lap out of the races this week. They've obviously done the maths which they probably could have done before some of those times, certain E-Series races, I guess. But they probably figured out that 33 laps wasn't going to work, so we've made it 32 laps, which is fine. So the format this weekend, Saturday, we've got the rookie-only practice session to start off with, which is what, Jack Smith and whoever's in the Matt Stone car. Two cars wobbling around there for half an hour. Cool. A couple of practice sessions. I'm not in favour of that. Just send them.
Yeah.
If you can't figure out how to set your car up, you probably shouldn't be out there. So
give them one. One max.
One's fine, but they've given them an hour worth of practice on Saturday. Then they've got two-part qualifying for the first race, a top 15 shootout, and then that first race starts at 3:30 Saturday Arvo. Sunday, two qualifying sessions and two races. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. We sort of talked format last week. I don't mind it. It is what it is for this first round. And I'm sure as things improve, they will mix it up as they feel the need. The interesting thing for mine is tyres. And we will finally go back to having these mixed tyre compounds, which is terrific. So I think it's three sets of the hard, two sets of the soft. Sydney Motorsport Park is notoriously rough on tyres. The left-hand side of the car or right-hand side of the car, or the left-hand corners gets loaded up a lot. So there'll be quite high degradation with the soft tyre. So the problem with the multi-tyre thing is that after the first race, everyone works out what the fast way to run your car for the race is. So you run your soft tyre here, your hard tyre there. It's the quickest way to do the race with a less deg, and everyone's on it by the end of the weekend. But I hope it just spices things up and you get some of that Barbagello magic we had a couple of years back where you've got quite significant overlap with some guys out on their feet at the end of the race on a soft tyre being mowed down by someone on good rubber or vice versa. I hope we get that. That'd be great. I checked the forecast. Sydney's going to let us down because it looks like it's going to be quite good weather-wise on the weekend.
17 and cloudy both days.
Yeah. So we're going to rely on some variables being thrown up. Anyone that thinks that it's going to be a vastly jumbled running order is kidding themselves because the bet... If anyone will benefit out of this situation and being good at unloading out of the truck with no testing or practice, it's the big teams. It's the Triple Eights and Shell V-Power Racings of the world. So they're going to be at the front. But I think what we hope is that a Tickford is going to be right there and WAU is going to be right there. But the thing I'm looking forward to most seeing, boys, is... this will be our first true test of the new set of aero regs for this year and the performance of the cars because the Adelaide 500 is such a difficult place to judge it on and we didn't get enough sample size at the Grand Prix to see how the cars reacted on a fast-flowing aero track. So this is a circuit that last year would have been a Ford Mustang paradise with all the aero stuff around it. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. And then, of course, there's the variable of the control damper to throw in as well.
I just hope, my main hope for the weekend is that someone steps up. There's a bit of an underdog story there somewhere along the lines of someone who's spent the last 3 months thinking real long and hard about it, and they come out there and knock one out of the park.
Andre Heimgartner? That's mine.
This break has given people a chance to settle in. And the E-Series, all these guys have been working with the engineers throughout the E-Series. They've had them on the cans. They've been... talking, communicating. They've had all this time away from the track where they've still been in touch and in each other's pockets, which is going to be interesting. A guy like a Jack LeBrock, you know, they've sort of been thrown in the deep end. A Bryce Fullwood, who was a real last-minute Larry deal to get him on the grid at Adelaide. He's now had some time to bed into that little universe at Walkinshaw's. It'll be interesting to see how those guys can just go out there and step up if they're able to, because it just feels that they've had this time to sort out their scenario there. And, you know, if the teams are good enough, we'll see how good they really are.
Well, like, it's a good point you make. It feels like Bryce Fullwood's been driving at WIU forever.
Yeah.
Because we've seen 10 rounds of championship racing with him. It's just been virtual. So, yeah, I agree with you. I'm really keen. They're all great stories. They're terrific. I'm really looking forward. You know, the Kellys were such a fascinating story at the start of the year. And the way they documented the build of these new cars was terrific. They aced that in the build up to the season. The dramas at the test day with Rick Kelly's thing, having the coil pack issues and them swapping between one car. it feels like so long ago now, added some drama. And then they unload, and then 10th and 11th in the championship after one round, and showed genuine pace again at Albert Park in that aborted weekend that we had. So it's stories like that that I'm really looking forward to following this weekend. It's buy for the buy who's at the front, because I fully expect it to be the usual suspects. But it's if an Andre can pop out, or even Rick can pop out and go top five, what a great outcome that would be, having unloaded. And we had Charlie Schwerkold on the phone earlier on. You know, Mark Winterbottom had an 8th and an 11th on the streets of Adelaide. So he could be somewhere around the mix. He loves Sydney Motorsport Park. Or Tickford, look fast. So where do they go? These are the stories that I'm most interested in following out of this weekend.
And while we would love to see Andre Heimgartner do well this weekend, let's hope that he doesn't win until we're actually back at a racetrack, because that Ned party will be amazing when he does. I'd rather him not do it while no one's there.
It's one of the biggest losses of the year, Shebex, is the activation that Ned, Australian-made whiskey, have had planned for this year.
I know. Amazing.
And you and I sampled it at the Adelaide 500, and it was terrific. And it could have been a real big night if we hadn't have bailed. But it's the biggest loss of the year, is that we're not going to have the big Saturday night, they shout the park kind of parties.
Yeah.
Hopefully that returns. I know they had everything centered around Bathurst, and doing something at the Ox in Bathurst in October. So hopefully they can still do that if restrictions continue to ease. Well, by the time we get to the
jackpot, have a big jackpot. The Ox.
Exactly. They'll be 8 rounds behind by then, so they'll have budget.
So the Race Talks preview for Sydney Motorsport Park, all sorts of weird and wonderful stats you'll see in that. The form guide there, Red Bull Holden Racing Team duo, Jamie Wincup, Shane Van Gisbergen, they have won 8 of the last 12 races. So at Sydney Motorsport Park, Chas Mostert's got a couple wins in 2015. McLaughlin had a win in the Volvo in 2014, and Fabian had a win there for Dadja Team Penske in 2017. But it has been the quick guys in qualifying have been Chas and Scotty McLaughlin. They've got the last 10 poles there. So it's those form guys that you expect, and it's sort of funny that the form guide is that you want to be qualifying up the front. You think of Eastern Creek, Sydney Motorsport Park, is a track that you can overtake at, but it is typically still those front two rows of the grid where you want to be.
Yeah, and one would think that should the 888 boys be fast again, and no one would expect that they wouldn't be out of the truck, that, they'll have a massive advantage this weekend.
Absolutely.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, isn't it, just to see if that form continues. I mean, Chas Mostert, that there's some potential excitement there, isn't there? If they can get that WIU car hooked up, as it was in Melbourne and definitely was in Adelaide, I mean, that's got huge potential for enormous fun of him. Because I don't think there's any expectation in that squad that they're going to fight for a championship. So you get the feeling that if anyone's just going to be, well, just send it, boys, it will be him, because there's so much pressure on McLaughlin to keep doing what he's doing and the Red Bull guys to continue their quest to get one back after a couple of years of the Red Fords dominating.
You mentioned the word pressure. How much pressure is on a guy like James Courtney coming back into the series and actually showing exactly what he can do with a fairly decent car?
Is there pressure, though?
Well, that's what I'm asking. Is there?
Well, I don't know.
I think it'll take time. You look how long it took for Will Davison to slot in and feel comfortable. It took him that whole last season until he was comfortable with his engineer and rolled up this year, and they were really quick. They were a top three, and they led the test day. They were top three at Adelaide, top three at Melbourne. So the car's good enough, but it's just a matter of having that relationship there between James and his new engineer.
Yeah, that's going to be a fascinating story for mine. It still boggles my mind that he hasn't missed a round. Like, through everything that went on, he's just... It's as if he was on the grid in Adelaide, because he was. That's crazy. Well, there's so many other... There's a lot of good stories on this grid, though, aren't there, really? And there's... The potential is great. Like, Nick Percat had a 7th on the Sunday in Adelaide, so BJR just creeping up on it. Erebus had a really interesting time of it in the streets of Adelaide. Anton didn't have a particularly good weekend at all. Dave punted him in race 2 with the lightest of touchdown there at the hairpin. Reynolds fourth and an eighth. So where are the Erebus cars at the moment? Are they genuine contenders, or are they that sort of leading group of the next tier? Where's Tickford at? You know, it's nice to be asking questions about form rather than what's actually happening in the world and when are we going back racing. I've got to say, it's kind of good.
One thing that does make me happy is the fact that Team Milwaukee was the only team not to make it through this. Because remember when that happened, yeah. Everyone was, this is the tip of the iceberg. The world's going to implode. It's all over. You just wait until everyone else pulls out. But yeah. Here we are race week, and it was that one team who's fallen out, which is a shame for them, but they were replaced the next day and we go racing.
Yeah, certainly do. All right. There's no use getting tips for this weekend.
Oh, no, there is. Yeah, go on.
Oh, is that all right? Go on. Yeah, shoot.
No, you first.
All right. No, well, I think Triple Eight. I think they've been dominant at this track, and I expect that they'll come out throwing punches straight away.
Okay. Mark?
Yeah, I mean, Triple Eight. Actually, I'll tell you what I want at Sydney Motorsport Park. You know how the Gold Coast has a really cool surfboard trophy?
Yeah.
And it's a surfboard because of the Gold Coast and the beach and all that.
Yeah.
What have we got at Sydney Motorsport Park?
Rubbish dump.
A tip, yeah.
Arnott's Biscuit Factory.
Oh yes.
Get up there.
Maybe the Tim Tams.
A massive packet of Tim Vovos.
Have we saw, Vovos we've solved it.
Superior and Arnott's Biscuit, of course.
People will be coming. No, but it would be like first is a Tim Tam, second is a Scotch Finger, and third's a milk arrowroot or something. It'll just go up and down the scale. It might have
What about a Monte Carlo?
Oh,
that would just
Monte Carlo.
Just fit in perfectly.
Do they do the
Kingston? Yeah, they do them all.
Kingston's are the best. Yeah. They're the best Arnott's biscuit by far.
Yeah. If Jackie Stewart was there, we could have a Scotch Finger.
Oh. That sounds terrible.
It did, actually. I only thought of that
genius.
After.
That's a genius.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
It's a shame that my mind instantly went to the rubbish tip behind.
Yeah, both of you. It was both garbage dump. I just get a big sack of garbage. Beautiful.
All I want out of this weekend is good racing.
Yeah. I think you'll see good racing.
I think McLaughlin will win it, and that will be my tip, but I just want good hard racing. There's got to be some good fights at the front. It desperately needs a great battle in one of the three races. Something we can look back on and go, wow, that was great. We need this, the Anton Shane stuff in E-Series, but in real life. Just one race of that.
Yeah.
We don't need someone to go out and flog the field, as so often happens at that place. Because of those long loaded corners and all the air on the cars, it's hard to follow close at Sydney. There's not a lot of passing generally. Everything crossed for one really good barn burner of a race.
But that last race we had at night there a couple of years ago, that was a cracker. It has potential there.
It does. And that was down to mixed tyre strategy. So that gives me hope for this weekend. Because you had the Red Bull cars on better rubber, mowing down McLaughlin, passing him. But when they got to him, it was really hard to pass. And you saw four or five laps of really good hard wheel-to-wheel stuff of McLaughlin defending. So if we get another one of those this weekend, even if it's one of the three races, that's a big tick in the box. Because they've got to come back with good games or good racing. I was thinking footy. Like, footy came back with a bunch of really average AFL games that were terrible, but watched by huge audiences. So we can only expect the audience to be really big watching this weekend. We've just got to deliver a good race for them, and then they'll keep tuning on through wherever it is we race next.
My main concern is after 10 weeks of Wednesday night e-racing and Wednesday night drinking, I'm going to have to back up Saturday and Sunday afternoon day drinking. It's a wild new world for me. I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's a whole new can of worms. Can we just point out how terrible Wednesday has been for the last... Well, it was terrible last week.
Yeah.
Hear this now, it's probably Wednesday as we go live on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Except for those listening on RS1, in which it's Thursday night, 9 p.m. UK time, in which case yesterday was terrible. Wednesdays without E-Series, bloody awful. I just sat in my room,
Sooked.
TV off, lights off. I just didn't know what
Sooked
to do.
All I really wanted was just some V8 drivers jump on Twitch swearing at each other. Yeah. That's all I wanted.
Yeah, we had 10 weeks of that and it was glorious. And that first week without it was like a dark, dark void in your life. Yeah.
Just wanted one person to say, you're a shit person. That's all we wanted to hear. That's all we wanted to hear.
Oh, the back channel stuff of that was genius.
It was. Hey, Before we go, Randy the plumber was on earlier on in our news, just giving us the conclusion to NASCAR. God bless him. Is that about to implode, that series? That is just amazing what's happening over there at the moment.
I'll defer to our US expert, Mark Walker.
It gets wilder and wilder, doesn't it? The whole USA situation. I mean, it's amazing. I don't know what to say because it's just next level.
I'm getting the feeling they won't have any fans left.
Well, the funny thing is they're winning the PR battle out of this, but they're winning the fan battle. Like, the media coverage around what NASCAR has done is really the Confederate flag and the Bubba Wallace stuff has been outrageously positive for them, but half their fan base is just completely alienated.
Yeah.
Did you see Marty Smith on SportsCenter, ESPN SportsCenter, in tears? Like, holy cow.
Yeah. It's just... It breaks your heart what's going on over there, though. I mean, we've all been there. We were all there for car racing over the last 3 or 4 years, and it's an amazing place. There's so much good stuff. And you sit from afar and watch what's going on there. And the COVID-19 stuff all around the world is terrible. And we're in a really lucky place here with the way that it's been managed here in Australia and New Zealand in particular. And
unless you're in Victoria. Going,
well... I wasn't going to start on that, Shebex. You get me up on my bloody high horse with you filthy Victorians. I say that with love.
I feel it. I feel the love.
I just want the bloody borders open. But it just breaks your heart with what everything else that's going on over there in the States. And I'd love nothing more to go back over there and do the Indy 500 again. And I want to go back to Cape Canaveral and all this stuff. But it's just not going to happen because devastating.
100%. Like, all my bucket list stuff is I'm going to go to New York City, go to Washington, Cape Canaveral, go and watch some NASCAR somewhere. And there's absolutely no chance, even if they relatively got their stuff together now, it's not going to happen. You wouldn't subject yourself to it.
No.
No, exactly. No, I feel lucky, like, you and the three of us shared cool events. Shebex, you and I went to the 100th running of the 500, Indy 500, and Walker, you and I went to the 50th running of the Daytona 500. So we both saw milestone events, and I feel lucky to have done those and ticked them off before it became impossible to get there, because just no way. So, and look, people, read theracetalk.com from the States. It's our second biggest audience. I know people listen to this over there. We're thinking of you, obviously. We love you. Thanks for listening. And
keep safe.
Stay safe.
Stay safe.
The NASCAR stuff alone, it's this little story within a broader story. It's just extraordinary what's going on there. So, they come out of it, I don't know. But good luck.
All right, boys. Time to top up the bar fridge, get things nice and cold for Saturday afternoon when racing returns to Sydney Motorsport Park.
I'm glad racing's back, boys. The real world, I loved E-Series. It was epic. But it's just going to be nice to sit down on the couch and watch some real world motor racing. Hey, quick plug before we go.
Yeah.
Our great supporters at National Transport Insurance, NTI, Truck Assist, back on board. And we heard segments of it on this very show inside the E-Series.
Yes.
We're picking that up, and we haven't got a name for it yet as we go to print with this show.
Outside the Real Series.
Well, we're doing Inside the Real Series now. So Saturday night, head to the Race Talk Facebook page, Truck Assist Facebook page, and our website. And there will be an inside Tickford Racing chat with Jack LeBrock and Lee Holdsworth straight after they finish their Saturday race.
Two superstars.
Yeah. So they'll come out, the Truck Assist car, obviously, of Lee Holdsworth, and Super Chip Auto Racing Truck Assist car of Jack LeBrock, friends of the show. We'll be chatting to them within an hour of them jumping out of their car. Which is huge because there's no media going to Sydney Motorsport Park. So we're getting the inside line. That will be live on our Facebook page, website, and the NTI social channels Saturday evening. Check the sites for times when that goes live. That's going to be a really interesting insight into the first day back at school after 3.5 months out of the office.
You know what's going to absolutely stuff this for you? Is when they finish 1-2 and have to do the Zoom press conference.
Oh, well, I'll just ask them different questions.
Oh, good boy.
Mate, I'll be 15 beers down by then, so the conversation is going to be fantastic. Hello to Chris and the team at NTI. If you're listening, I'll be fine. It'll be all right. Don't worry.
Beautiful.
That'll be good. Well done.
Looking forward to it. Excellent.
Bring you some highlights of that machine next week.
Saturday night. Boys, catch you at some point over the weekend. I'm sure we'll chat.
Yeah, it's good. Racing's back. Exciting.
It is. And thank you for joining us, folks. We'll catch you again right here on the grid next week.